Holy Spirit, we give you total liberty to speak to us, to touch our hearts, to correct us, to comfort us, to strengthen us this afternoon. Blessed be your name, our Father. We worship you, Jesus. Amen. James chapter 3. We started this last year looking at the pillars of the church. If you remember, James, Peter, and John, these were the people that walked closely with the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, James was a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became one of the pillars in the church. Apostle John walked with Jesus. Peter, of course, we know Peter, we know Jesus. If you read the epistles, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you see Peter all over the place. And these are the people that wrote the last three books of the Bible. James, Peter, John. John wrote Revelation 2. And whatever they have to say, we must listen. They become foundation. These are the foundation of the church, of the early church. And whatever they are put down is for our learning, so that our lives can be rooted and we can have solid foundation to build on. So we started with the book of John. I started with the book of James. My husband is teaching on Peter, if you remember. It has not gone with 2023. Yes, 23 has gone, but that's part of our lives, to live 2024. And we said that, unlike what people will just do, just do 3 days, 4 days, or 7 days program for the new year. We started teaching this so that it becomes part and parcel, not just for the new year 2024, but part and parcel of your life. For you to be rooted, to be firmly grounded in the truth. And I started with James chapter 1, but today I'm going to James chapter 3. All right, because I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to do this. I just heard in my spirit, do you want to escape trouble in 2024? Do you want to have less trouble in 2024? How many of you? You want trouble in 2024? Nobody. How many of us want less trouble? Especially the ones caused by us. Trouble coming from other people, issues coming from other people, you don't have control over such. You don't have control over your boss. You don't have control over the governor of the state, neither the president. You don't have control over so many things. But there's one person that you have control over. That's you. To a large extent. That's you. You want to change the world? Start with yourself. You want to change the society? Start with yourself. So when we're talking about less trouble, I'm talking about less trouble that are initiated by you as a person. Less trouble that are caused by you. And if you can limit that, if you can work on yourself that you have less trouble coming from this direction, you're going to have a good life. Praise God. So James started this in chapter 1. He said, my brethren, from verse 1. My brethren, and I've told you again, my brethren just means my brothers and okay, you don't know. It means brothers and sisters. The word brethren. Can I have NLT? Thank you. Dear brothers and sisters, chapter 3. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly.
Verse 2.
He says, for we all stumble in many things. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. He said, don't be eager to be teachers. Don't be eager that, oh, I want to lead this Bible study. I want to instruct people. Don't be eager to use your mouth to instruct others. First of all, learn to use your mouth for yourselves. He says, we all make mistakes. That's one of the things that you must accept about your life. That you make mistakes. The day you realize that you make mistakes and you are not as good as you think you are, that's the day your life will turn towards being better. I'm going to repeat that. You know, as human beings, we know our intentions. We can see the fault of others. We can see the mistakes of others. But you have a way of looking at yourself that, oh, I didn't intend that. I didn't mean that. But you know what others mean. You know what others intend. And you hold them responsible. But when you begin to realize that you are not as good as you think you are. I'm not as good as I think I am. I'm not as intact as I think I am. I have mistakes. I have faults. He says, many of us make mistakes. And you know, the whole apostle, he was supposed to be like the bishop of the church at that time. He said, we all make mistakes. We all. He included himself in that all. He didn't even say we all make mistakes. He said, we make many mistakes. Many mistakes. When you realize that about yourself and accept that about yourself, you know, forget about all those slogans, you are perfect, you are good, all those affirmations, words of affirmations, they make us say, you are good, you are intact, there's no problem with you. There's no struggle with you. You are all intact and every other person is scattered. They are the ones that have trouble. You look at yourself, oh, I'm good. Your parents are bad. They are the ones making mistakes. Oh, that person that I'm dating or I'm going out with or I'm in courtship with, he has this fault, he has that, and you are good. Amen. You are Jesus. Abi? Says we all make many mistakes, especially through what we say. Especially through our mouth. Especially through our mouth. That's why I say, for if we control our tongues, we'll be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. If you're going to have less trouble this year, focus on yourself. Focus on your life. And especially on this thing under your nose. Especially what? Everybody's quiet. He said, this woman has come again. You know I'm working for your good. How many of you know that? I'm here for your good, for your edification. And I'll tell you the truth. One of the things that will help you and help you. Let me start with this. You know, I was reading a book for married people. I've used that book. I've shared that book, over the years with them. I just was reading a portion of it. Now listen. A man started having extramarital affairs, aka adultery. They were first of all having problems in their house. Okay, the wife, something went wrong in her place of work, and she started, you know, working extra hours, bringing work home, so she didn't have time for her husband. Then their teenage daughter started using drugs, overdosing on prescribed drugs. That was added stress for her. And she wasn't giving attention to her husband. Before she knew it, the man started seeing somebody is in his place of work. She didn't know. The man didn't know. They had not started seeing. They met. Okay, yeah, I remember now. The man loved to watch carries this. But she wasn't interested. So they were just drifting apart. So the man met a lady on chat room. Met a lady on the chat room that came out of that carries whatever. Is it NASCAR or something? Now, the mother of that lady got the telephone number of this woman and said, "You know what? Are you so and so that your husband works in so and so?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Do you know what my daughter and your husband are trying to do? They've been seen. They were not seen yet. They've been exchanging mails. They've been chatting. And they have plans to meet in the next 2 weeks." And he don't know now that next 2 weeks, her husband and I had agreed that she will go to her mother's house to go and cool off. Then he will go for whatever. So he clicked on that. Oh, this man. And you know what? That woman said, the top of it is, "My daughter is married with 2 kids. And I know too that your husband too is married." Hey, this woman got really mad. She was mad. She was saying, "Oh, this man, they are believers." But do you know what happened? This is where I'm going. She now went to a friend of hers who is also a believer. And she said in that book, she said a whole lot of things. You know, out of anger, she was just spilling and saying all sorts of things to her friend, not to her husband. Her friend was able to calm her down, counsel her because she had gone through such before. Now, this is the reason why I said all that. When they were not going through counseling, because she had to confront the husband and this and that and that, they were going through counseling. Do you know what the husband said? He said, "If you had confronted me with that anger, if you had spoken all those words to me, it would have been the end of the marriage." When I read that, I looked and I thought. By the time she came back home to come and confront her husband, she had unleashed all the anger, all the displeasure, all the abusive words, everything, with her. It was just between her and her friends. And she also admitted the fact that she said so many unprintable words. But the thing was, even though the man was wrong, she still felt that she would have left that relationship if the wife had spoken those words to her. That's what we're talking about. And they're both believers. He says, we all make mistakes. It was later on, the woman was now realizing that, "Oh, yes, I was thinking that my husband is having extramarital affairs, but I have not given him attention for months. I've not been around him for months. What is he interested in? I'm not interested in." But it's easy to point fingers. He says, "For if we could control our tongues, we will be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way." Give us verse 3. And I want you to see this. It says, "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth." How many of you have seen horses before? When you want to control a horse, you mount a horse, you want to move around. As big as that horse is, it's just this small bit that they put around the mouth that goes through the neck that controls a big horse. As big as a horse is. That's what controls. And when you can handle that bit, you can make the horse to go wherever you want it to go. And that bit is likened to our tongue. Verse 4. That's likened to our tongue. And it says, "A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Your steering wheel is not the biggest in your car. As a matter of fact, it's so fragile. You can't compare the steering wheel of even a car to the engine, to the tires.
to the seeds.
But as small as it is, everything is connected to that steering to make the vehicle to move. Are you getting the illustration? The beads in the horse's mouth, the rudder in a huge ship, or the steering wheel in a car. Verse 5 says this. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. Your tongue, very small, compared to every other part of your body. He says it's a small thing, but it makes what? Grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. That's what will have happened to that couple. A tiny spark, just some wrong words. That's why Solomon said this in Proverbs 21, look at verse 23. Proverbs 21, 23. We are going to keep ourselves out of trouble, and it will be by this. It says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth opened. Say, keep your mouth shut. And you will stay out of what? Out of trouble. Trouble with your lecturers. Trouble with your boss. Trouble with your fiance or fiancee. Trouble with your parents. Trouble with your colleagues. You will stay out of trouble when you learn how to watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. When you know how to control this. There's one old man that lived to 90 something years. His teeth was intact. His health good. And they asked the old man, what's your secret? How is it that you've been able to keep going all these years? He said, amongst every other thing, I begged God, I asked God to help me keep this thing under my nose. And the people around him said, that's so true, because that man will never say anything wrong about anybody. No matter what. Regardless of what they do. In that same city was a troublesome man that was always troubling everybody, causing trouble in the community. One day, he was killed because he was in the troublemaking. He was killed and everybody was saying, look at him, saying all sort of things. You know the way we talk. This one, you talk, we use our mouth. And they saw that old man was quiet. He said, you are not talking. He said, but he has a beautiful face. Saying that, says, watch your tongue. And when he said, talking about your tongue, talking about what comes out of your mouth, keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. A number of troubles that people get into is by what they say. There's one Yoruba thing that they used to say that tortoise said the day he discovered how to say ho, that's when he stopped getting into trouble with people. These days, they don't tell you stories. Or did you hear such stories? Have you ever heard such? In Japan, he just mostly bon, oh. This one will come and say, oh. That one will talk, oh. Who will go and report you for saying ho? Somebody is coming and, giving you all sort of things, saying all sort of things. And before you know it, you start talking. You start responding. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. It's something that you have to learn to practice. And we say practice makes what? When you practice an habit again and again, it almost now becomes part and parcel of your life. It just becomes as if, you've always been like that. When I got married, one of the reasons why my marriage was going to fail in the first 2 years was because of my mouth. I was Holy Ghost filled. My husband, a minister of the gospel, we married as Christians. And in less than 2 years, we were already thinking. And you know, my husband would say, you know, when at the end of the argument or whatever, my husband would say, if this is the way you spoke, that wouldn't have been trouble. And even as he's saying it, I'm already thinking, how did I speak? How did I, some when I didn't know better, I would have even mentioned, how did I speak? I might as well use to say something. I wish there is a video recorder in this house that will take a picture that will captive, that will capture everything, a CCTV or a camera or whatever. So that by the time you have cooled down, we will replay, you will see yourself. But I didn't have to wait to have CCTV in the house. You know, when you don't learn by the word, when you don't learn by instruction, you will learn by experience. You know that you have to change. But you don't have to get to that. You can learn now. And that's why God is speaking to you now. That you learn how to speak. How to use your mouth. In a constructive way. Not in a destructive way. Praise God. I said, praise God. So let me ask your neighbor again. Do you want to keep yourself from trouble this year? Do you want to stay away from trouble? Then learn to keep your mouth. Learn to keep your mouth. Learn to keep your mouth. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 3. What Peter has to say, what John has to say, and James, we must listen. And James is corroborating Peter is corroborating what we read in James. It says, from verse 10, it says, for the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days. Is anybody like that here? You want to enjoy 2024? And see happy days. Say, keep your tongue from speaking evil. Evil. And your lips from telling lies. Evil. Keep your tongue. Restrain your tongue. You know that none of us will actually speak without thinking. Something will come to your head and you just want to blot it out. But when it comes to your head and your mouth wants to speak, no. Slow down. I was sharing with them in first service. Something happened in my house on, was it Saturday? My daughter was going out. Our daughter was going out. And my husband seated by my side. We were in the kitchen. And he just said to her, have you gotten the alert? My mind said, which alert? What transaction? I know both of you went out yesterday and you spent money and you didn't remember me. You know, which was going on again. That's what was going on in my mind. But I just said, Kemi, keep quiet. I just told myself, shut up. Must you know everything? Must you say everything? If he wants me to know, if they want me to know, they will mention it. So I just kept quiet. My husband was expecting me to say, as usual, there, Kino Shelley, what's happening? What are you buying? Which transaction? Because a day before, when they went out, they went shopping. They came back with bags and bags. And she came to my room. My daughter came to my room and said, this is for daddy. I said, how about you? I'm dropped this in my room. I said, what for? How about me? Hey, daddy and daughter, you went shopping and you forgot me. You know, I started joking. Is it because I'm motherless and fatherless? Anyhow, my husband later came and gave me some. He said, okay, take this money for yourself. Okay. Take back. Even though I was like, how much are you giving me? Compared to, but I didn't say that. He's just hearing me now. So, following day now, I just said, keep quiet. Keep short. So, I guess my mother was feeling uncomfortable. This woman, what happened? You didn't ask. So, this money came. There. You didn't even ask. That you heard me talking to Precious about sending her money. It's actually that shoe that I wanted to buy.
They asked me. I said, hey, well, I didn't ask because I just felt, I mean, I'm not God. God that knows everything. Why am I trying to? I just said, well, I just felt that if you wanted me to know, you will mention it. You will have mentioned it. Not because I was angry or trying to. That's part of what I'm talking about. You know that that could have caused problems some years back. How would you? You don't even want me to. Before you know it, you say what you are not supposed to say. So maybe something that has, an issue that has passed for 2-3 weeks or 2-3 months, before you know it, PM, it comes. And I'll say, hey, so you are still holding. And that's how, I'm telling you now, that's how things degenerate among married people. But start learning now. That is not everything. Let's take a look at some scriptures in Proverbs before I round up. Number one thing, it says, stop telling lies. Stop speaking evil. Evil words are words that don't say good things, that are not good about others. Words that you are not sure of. You just heard that, oh, Tinubu, blah, 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 blah. And you say it as if you were in Aso Rock. The day God corrected me about those things. You just hear, read one news, or you hear, and before you know it, you narrate it as if you were there. So one day God said, Kemi, the way you are saying this, as if you are a star in Aso Rock. What's your own? So I'm very careful. You read news and you just press it. One of the things that make me angry, the rate at which people, you know, send messages. And when I'm talking about speaking, it includes chatting. It includes the text messages, the Snapchats, the WhatsApp. You know, some of us, we cannot talk, but we can type. And you type all those horrible words, negative words, and you are sending them. You are as well speaking them. Praise God. He said, were you there? So, he said, stop speaking evil. One of the things that God will deliver all of us from is the way we speak about evil about our leaders, pastors, governors, ministers, all of them. But we don't speak such about ourselves. Things that you are not sure of. Things that you have not confirmed. These days, if I want to say, I said, then say, I read. I'm not saying it as if I'm a first-hand witness of what happened. Especially when they are negative things. Let's be careful. It says, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. And do you know the reason? He says, if you want to enjoy life, can you see the connection? If you want to enjoy life, not about them, not about whether it's true or not. I want you to reason along with it. It's not about whether the story is true or whether it is not. You know, if I have to speak negative words, wrong words, curse words, it has to come through me. For me to curse somebody and say, you are really mad, you are stupid, where is it coming from? So something evil is actually passing through my whole system before it gets to that person. So I don't want to poison my system. I don't want to poison my heart. I want my heart to be sensitive to God, to hear God. But when I indulge and engage myself in, you know, all those things that we talk about, things that we don't have control over, things that we can't change, it poisons us. It is destroying us. So that's why I say, if you want to enjoy life, it's not about the other person. It's about you. I see many happy days. Keep your tongue from evil and your mouth from speaking guile. Proverbs 10. Let's just check some words in Proverbs and we'll go. Proverbs 10, look at verse 14. He says, wise people treasure knowledge, but the babbling of a fool, what does he invite? Disaster. Disaster. The babbling of a fool. In verse 19 of that same chapter, he said, too much talk leads to what? Sin. Another translation says, in the multitudes of words, sin is not wanting. Say, too much talk. Talk. You know, you say the same thing again and again and again, especially for those of us who are in relationship. He says, in the multitudes of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. When you learn to restrain your lips, it will occur to you, say this, and say, no, I will not. Especially when they are negative. And you know that the problem is we say so many negative words. We use our mouth so much in a negative manner. If you are talking and you are encouraging and you are blessing, please go ahead. Don't keep short. But you know that it's not easy for us to do the positive. It's so easy to do the negative. It's so easy because, you know, our nature is still there. So you have to retrain yourself to speak as a wise person, as a wise lady, as a wise man. And you know what Jesus Christ says? Out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Matthew chapter 12. So the more of the word of God you are exposed to, the more of the word, the truth that comes into your life, the more it will flow. As you are listening to me now, something is registering upon your spirit. It's the seed of word of God is being sown. And the more you water that, the more you tend to be able to use the knowledge right. The knowledge that you're gaining. To be able to know that, no, I can control myself. There's something about anger and words. I want us to look at it. Look at Proverbs 15 verse 1. When you are angry, when you are upset, one of the best things that you can do to yourself at those moments is to keep quiet. To do what? Are you still here? I said one of the best things you can do for yourself, for your future, for your life is to do what? To keep quiet. To keep short. You are upset. You feel like, keep quiet. This is a soft answer. Turns away what? Wrath. But a harsh word, what does it do? It stirs up anger. If you can't answer right, at least keep short. You know what Solomon said? Solomon said, even a fool, when he's quiet, he's taught to be a wise man. Keep quiet. Listen. By the time you are quiet and you are reasoning, and you are remembering what Kemi Amosu taught you, that a soft answer, what does it do? It turns away wrath. Oh, your parents, your mommy, some of you, how many of you feel that your mom nags? Be honest, she's not here. How many of you feel, my daddy and my mommy, they're always nagging? Be true. Can I see your hand? I used to feel like that too. And that's the same way your children will feel about you. Good news, is that not? That's the same way. You know, it's so easy. Hey, my father talks too much. My father, my mother, is coming to you. That's the way I felt too. But as a believer, how do you respond? Your parents are hungry. Is that not what you do? I'm now an adult. How can she be talking to me like that? Mom, hey. Doesn't show wisdom. Whosoever, your boss, I know people who have gotten into trouble at their places of work because the way they answer back. He says, a harsh word tears up anger. And you know, we think we are joking amongst ourselves when we do those things. And somebody, and say, you know, I can't find words to use. I'm sorry. I don't know how people say those things again. I can hardly find examples to use. Forgive me if it's an offense. But you know what to do now. Oh, he comes and complains about it. Shut up your mouth. Do you think the person you say shut up your mouth to will smile back at you? Huh? Will not smile back at you. And, am I the one you are talking to like that? Who are you? Okay, I can use that. You say, look at the person. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Hey, egg by me. Those are the words. Who do you think you are? By the time you tell me who do you think you are, do you think I'm going to embrace you? Eh? And say, I love you so much. And that's what happens in relationships. The guy says this. You are still cutting. He comes and says, what is it? We are not even married. We are not even married. And you are already talking to me like, Praise God. It says, a soft answer turns away what? Wrath. Looking at how to use your tongue in a positive way. In a positive way. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. We're going to stay out of trouble. Out of trouble. Proverbs 15, look at verse 28. 15:28. It says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth what? Evil. Study how to answer. That's part of learning to use your tongue, to use your mouth in a positive way. You get a text message from someone, or somebody says something to you. Don't be too quick. Yoruba will say, Ejo la man ko aki ko ija. Have you ever heard that before? Huh? We only learn how to relate the situation, not how to fight. You don't learn how to fight. But you must learn how to communicate, how to talk. If they ask you what happened, you know, you say, I can't even say anything. I can't even express myself. But you have fought. You have caused trouble. Praise God. Says the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. And you can only study how to answer if you take time to think about the situation. To think about what you are. To process what has happened. And in the time of processing what has happened, you are likely to see where you have hurt. You are likely to see your own fault. And such people are likely to be able to just settle issues, apologize, and before you know it, the issue is over. But something happened, and you have taken your phone, and you are sending text messages. You are doing this. Relationship that you have built, workplace that you have been, a place where you have been working for some time, and just because of one issue or the other, you scatter everything. God is going to help us to keep out of trouble in 2024 in the name of Jesus. Matthew 12, I quoted it. Can we take a look at verse 33? Matthew 12, verse 33. Things will happen. People will say what you don't expect. React. Do what you don't expect. The earlier you began to realize that people will not always do what you expect. They will not. Just the same way that you don't. But you must learn how to manage. How to manage. People will react, say things, do things. Look at verse 33. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Verse 35. It says, a good man. Okay, 34. It says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. But the issue now, it says, a good man. So the mold of good treasure, good things that you put into your heart, reading your Bible, reading books, growing, learning, the more deposit of the good that comes into your life, the more you will be able to produce. The more that will be available for you to use in time of trouble. But if you are empty, if you are not growing, if you are not making deposits into your heart, you just find out that what will come out are those times of pressure, those times of trouble will be the negative, the sinful nature that will come. Things that you even never expected that you could do, you will do them. Why? Because you have not been filling up your life with a positive words, positive messages, reading your Bible, growing, learning, and looking at what you have done to make corrections and to move forward. That's the way to do it. Nobody, you know, just gets born again or because I'm just, and it's just overnight. It's a process. And the more you can put pressure on yourself to become better, the better it will get for you from one level to another. That's such that your life will just be cool, easy, happy days, and less trouble. Praise God. Less trouble with your parents, less trouble with your boss, less trouble with neighbors. Less trouble with brothers and sisters in the church. And where there is peace, there will be progress. Because you have time to think about your life, you have time to plan, you have time to execute. Not putting off fires. Oh, I fought with that one. Oh, that one, I have issues. Oh, that one, no. You have time to be able to think and make progress with your life because there are less negative, less trouble. Praise God. Can we pray this morning? I want you to pray and ask God to help you as a person. I want you to respond to God back. I don't want trouble this year. I want less of trouble. Less of trouble in my relationships. Less of trouble at work. Wherever I find myself, I'm a child of peace. I want to make peace. And rather than using my mouth negatively, I want my life to be a blessing. I want to be able to encourage people. Be a blessing to people wherever I find myself. Can you commit yourself and say, God, help me. Help me. Help me, Father. That my tongue will be a tongue of the wise. Thank you.